Coffee and Bible Time podcast. For those that may be listening for the first time, our podcast is an offshoot from our main platform, YouTube. Our channel is called Coffee and Bible Time, where our goal is to help people delight in God's Word and thrive in Christian living. We also have a website and storefront with Bible studies, prayer journals, courses, and more. Before we get started, a word from this week's sponsors. Hey, Mentor Mama here. At Coffee and Bible Time, we recommend you introduce Jesus to your kids as early as possible. That's why we're partnering with the Talking Jesus Doll. The Talking Jesus Doll is so cute and made of the softest, snuggliest material. And you guessed it, he talks. When you squeeze his hand, he speaks 10 phrases that Jesus said in the Bible. From the Lord's Prayer to John 3:16 and everything in between. It's so important to introduce children to the love and lessons of Jesus in their formative years. I love this product and so does everyone else. The Talking Jesus Doll is loved by families on 4 continents and has hundreds of 5-star amazing reviews. Kids are learning Bible verses and even using the doll to minister to others. So, if you have kids, grandkids, nieces, or nephews, this is the perfect birthday, Easter, or Christmas gift. Go to JesusDoll.com and use promo code CBTDoll to get 10% off your purchase. That's JesusDoll.com, promo code CBTDOLL. To get 10% off your purchase. I'm Mentor Mama, and today we are going to be talking about how to stop striving in life and instead start thriving. What if you have reached the point in your life that you have hit every mile marker that you thought you needed to hit to finally find success in your career, finally have that loving relationship, finally carefully crafting the life that you thought that you wanted, only to look around and find that it's not enough? The question is, why isn't it enough? Why is there still discontentment, and what can we do about it? Well, our guest today, Chanel Dokun, author of the book Life Starts Now, How to Create the Life You've Been Waiting For, has been there. She will share with us today how she combated what the world defined as an accomplished life with strategies to create the life she had really been waiting for, a life of profound joy and fulfillment rooted in unique purpose. Chanel Dokun is a certified life planner and relationship expert trained in marriage and family therapy. She specializes in helping women step into their life's true calling through her Women of Consequence life planning organization. Prior to running her own business and co-founding the therapy practice Healthy Minds NYC, she worked in publishing at Hearst Magazines. She now splits her time between New York City and Atlanta with her psychiatrist husband and son. Chanel's writing and contributions have appeared in publications such as the New York Times, Real Simple, Women's Day, Essence, Moneyish, Christianity Today, and Relevant Magazine. Please welcome Chanel.
Hi, thank you.
It's such a joy to have you with us today, Chanel, and I'm so excited for people to get to know you.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Because your topic just resonates with so many people. Why do you think so many women just seem to have it all, but yet they're struggling with it not being enough or feeling disappointed with how their lives are turning out?
Yeah, I think that it's a very common thing that women feel. And I think it's because we are encouraged to pursue a life that is not actually true or authentic to us, right? We are encouraged to kind of follow after the way of the world in terms of these external markers or standards for success. And so over time, we kind of internalize those ideas, like I'll be happy when I get the job of my dreams because the world tells me that career satisfaction is the ultimate thing to be pursued. Or we think, man, you know, I just need that relationship. If I was married or if I, you know, found that romance that I was always desiring, then I would be happy. Or, you know, maybe if I get all the stuff, if I get the nice house, if I get whatever, that will somehow fulfill me. And the world shows us a lot of that day after day, you know, scrolling Instagram. We see that in all the movies and all the things. And so I think that we reach this place where we acquire all of that if we're quote unquote lucky, right? And then ultimately we go, wait a minute, I don't think any of this satisfies. And the truth is it's not meant to.
It absolutely is not. I love in your book how you give so many authentic, great examples of what real people struggle with, that I think that, you know, the readers can resonate. You talk about how to stand up and fully breathe. What do you mean by that? And what are some basic steps that all women can do to start that process?
Yeah. To me, what it means to stand up and fully breathe means to go from kind of this phrase that I use of moving from being a woman of significance to being a woman of consequence. And by that, I mean moving from being a woman who's trying to pursue a life of significance and to trying to pursue or acquire kind of those external markers of success. And then moving into a woman who is really living out her own unique God-given purpose. And so what it means to stand up and fully breathe is to stand in the truth of your identity, to know who you are, to know where you're headed, and to know how you're going to get there. I think that on a very practical level, one of the things that I often recommend that women do in order to get there is to find ways to start to silence the world, right? Because the world's so noisy. It's telling you how to live all the time. And so I have a little reclaim the morning practice that I encourage as a way to daily reconnect to your own voice.
Ooh, can you tell us just a little bit more about that?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, so reclaiming the morning, you know, at its essence, it's kind of like a journaling practice. But the idea is that it's the first thing that you do when you wake up in the morning. So before rolling over, you know, grabbing your phone to check, do I have Instagram notifications? Who texted me? What does the news say? Instead of doing that, the first thing that you do in the morning when you wake up is to actually take moments to sit in silence, to kind of check in with yourself and ask, you know, what's going on with me, and to journal in a stream of consciousness sort of way. And through that time, we start to uncover, like, what are the hidden anxieties that I have, the fears, the hopes that I have for my life? What am I about? What do I really care about? And through that process, if we were able to do that first, we've allowed ourselves to kind of be aware of our own voice before we've started to listen to kind of who everyone else is saying we need to be or all the concerns or priorities that others are presenting to us.
That's so interesting. I think that process maybe helps you over time, like get better at doing that. Cause I feel like there's some people that really are able to verbalize what they're feeling. And there's other people, and I'm speaking of myself, that maybe, you know, find that kind of hard. So I can imagine maybe once you start that, you get more in touch with your inner.
Yes. Well, I love that you actually acknowledge that, because one of my dearest friends, she had this, you know, she wanted to follow this practice because I'm, you know, we're best friends. And so she thought, okay, I'll do it. And she would text me and saying, how on earth do you sit here? I can't do more than 5 minutes. Or how do you fill a page? This sounds like a nightmare for me. And I would tell her, just write, I don't know what to write. I don't know what to write. I don't know what to write until you start to come upon something. And she would just try day after day. And it's like working a muscle where she realized that the more she confronted the page, the more comfortable she started to get to sit in her own skin. And it was actually very surprising to her, the things that came out, things that she wasn't consciously or intentionally avoiding. She just hadn't allowed her mind to get there because she was never still enough to do it. And so she got more comfortable with it over time. So if, you know, the folks who are listening, if they feel like, wow, that sounds really intimidating, I always say start small, like start with two minutes, start with 5 minutes. Hopefully you can grow to like 20 or 30 minutes and give yourself the grace of, if you don't know what to write, just say, I don't know what to write. And then see what pops into your mind. You can maybe write about, hey, this is what I have going on today. And then think, well, how do I feel about what's going on today? And see where it leads you.
Mm-hmm. I often find too that when I'm taking that quiet time in the morning too and reading scriptures, that actually evokes things for me to think about.
Yes.
And nudges, you know, the Holy Spirit's nudging me to sort of reveal to myself different things.
Yes.
Well, in your book, you talk about some of the beliefs that limit women in their search for joy and fulfillment. So share with us what some of those are.
Yeah. I think there are three kind of big beliefs that we all buy into some degree, right? The first one I would say is this belief of I am what I do. And that is that my whole identity is wrapped up in my work, my career, my profession, or, you know, a professional vocation. And we think that we're defined by what we can produce. And so that keeps us trapped in the cycle of kind of working more to prove our worth. We can also be, you know, trapped by this idea of I am who I love. And I know a lot of clients, I'll often when I work with women or speak to groups of women, I love doing like coming and speaking to a women's ministry, for example. Mm-hmm. And I'll often say, hey, you know, pop quiz, what's your life purpose? And a lot of the women, they will say, well, you know, my purpose is to take care of my kids or to be a good, loving presence in my family. And I'll say, well, you know, congratulations, you're a human being. Like we're all here for that, right? Mm-hmm. And so they get trapped in this idea of the extent of my worth is who I am to other people or what I can do for other people or the role that I play in relationship, or my life isn't complete unless I have certain types of relationships in my world. And so I think that's a limiting belief because God has created us with a plan and a purpose. There's no asterisk saying, you know, you must be married to redeem purpose. Mm-hmm. It's already there. Mm-hmm. And then the last belief that I would say is really sticky, and this one gets tricky, is this idea that I am what I have, right? Like I am the sum of all my stuff. And so we don't really think that at the outset, but we tend to let this show up in our lives by, you know, I need a better car, or my life isn't complete because I, you know, I haven't purchased my first home, right? Or I haven't, you know, nailed my wardrobe yet. And if I just get those things, then my life will be meaningful. And of course, none of those things are true.
Learn what theology is and how to study God within the Bible in course number 7 of our in-depth Bible Study Academy. In this academically built course, you will learn the tools to study God's character and nature within a Bible passage and how to grow closer to God relationally through Bible study. This course, titled Theology, Knowing God Through In-Depth Bible Study, is packed with teaching lessons, homework, quizzes, and a resource list for personal study. Head to our website, coffeeandbibletime.com, to learn more about the Academy and course number 7 today. Use promo code CBTPODCAST, that's CBTPODCAST, to get 50% off this course right now at coffeeandbibletime.com. Yeah. You know, when I was reading that part of your book, I read the first one and I was like, oh yeah, I've been believing that lie. And then I went to the second one. I was like, oh no. I can believe that one too. And I get to the third one and I'm like, oh my goodness. So I think it's, would you say common that in some aspect or another, people can relate to all of those?
Oh, absolutely. I think that, you know, many of us, we tend to have an Achilles heel, right? There's one maybe that is a real tricky one for you. Mm-hmm. I know for me personally, like I get stuck in work all the time where it feels like that's really, I have to remind myself, like, you're not the performance you deliver, right? Like God has already said that you are good. And there's this beautiful worship song that I kind of like stumble over all the time. I was just listening to it this morning. It's that Gyra song of from Maverick City Music. And there's this line where it says, like, you know, I'm already loved. And I just like, I start weeping every time because this reminder that I'm enough, like just as I am, really speaks to me. But certainly it depends on the season of my life where I'm more at risk to believe one of those other beliefs too.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you touched on it briefly, but maybe can you expand a little bit on this difference between being a woman of significance and being a woman of consequence?
Sure. Yeah. You know, at first glance, it seems like, well, I want to be a woman of significance. That sounds great. and it is great. But I think the lie is that that you're not already that, right? Like you already have significance that's been imparted to you. So it's kind of a silly pursuit to pursue significance, right? Because you're pursuing something that you already have. God's already granted that to you. Mm. So the idea of being a woman of consequence is, what does it mean to move into a space where I'm not so much trying to be significant, to make a big splash in the water, right? But I recognize that as a consequence of my being, that I have an impact on the world around me. And so that means I'm really in touch with the way that I'm wired. That means I stay true to what my core values are, that I am aware of how God has created me. Like, what are my talents? What am I passionate about? What issues or problems am I invited to help solve and kind of participate in the renewal of our world? And how do I recognize that, you know, I can love others and contribute to others, but that's not my sole value, that it's okay for me to just take good care of myself too? All of those things are more of what it means to be a woman of consequence.
That's so interesting. I personally have never looked at it like that. So that's really deep, I would say, and just so thoughtful way to look at your life. Well, one of the things that you talk about are life liturgies. Mm-hmm. So can you explain what they are and how they impact our daily lives?
Yeah. So, well, maybe those that are listening will be comfortable with this idea of liturgies because we've probably stumbled upon it in some place and within our church lives. But really, it's this way of talking about sacred habits, right? It's the things that you do every day that are forming you into a certain kind of person. And I could have just said in the book, like, you know, we all have habits that help us to become a person of consequence or not. But I love the idea of liturgies because it kind of adds this holy and sacred element to it, right? Where we're able to see, like, I may have a habit, yes, of checking my phone. But when I think about the liturgy of checking my phone each day, that invites me to think a little bit more about, like, how are these things I'm doing actually shaping the kind of woman that I'm becoming? And so we engage in these things all day long. When I pick up my phone, when I'm hanging out with, you know, my kid, which, by the way, you were so lovely when you were sharing my bio to introduce me. And since I've given that to you, I have a little girl now. So I have to add in that I have a beautiful little baby girl.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. But when I'm spending time with my kids, if I pick up my phone, which is a habit to do, when I think of it as a liturgy, I realize that it's kind of telling me something about myself and about my family and about the world. It's reminding me that, oh, all the action is actually happening on your phone. It's not here with your kids. Mm-hmm. Or maybe this space is insufficient, that you need more to add to it. Or maybe it tells me that I should be looking to my phone to guide me on what to do. Like I should scroll to a mommy blogger or something like that and know how to manage that moment. And so we want to be aware of those liturgies in our life. What are the habits that you have in your life? What things do you do without even thinking often that are telling you something about how to live and about what you value? The really cool thing, and I'll stop after this, but just the cool thing about liturgies is that we can engage in them and they can shape us without us knowing it, right? In sometimes negative ways. Mm-hmm. They can cause a lot of anxiety and stress or move us away from our purpose. But what's great is when we grab a liturgy, when we intentionally build one in our life, it can actually help us move closer to our purpose. So mm-hmm. something like the Reclaim the Morning practice, you know, I help women develop that as a practice in their life because it's a great liturgy to remind you, like, time alone, you're enough. Your voice matters. What you care about and think matters. So it forms you into a different kind of person.
That's, you know, you mentioned that, you know, when we're on our own phones, it feels like you can relate to it so much more when you've been with someone else and they go on their phone and you realize like how that takes away from your relationship, that your presence of being there. So it's interesting to take that same thing, but look at it for yourself.
Right.
That's not something I've thought of before, but that's really cool. Yeah. Well, what are the three main questions that women are asking when they talk about finding clarity in their calling?
Yeah. So women will say, you know, they come to me, I work with women on like one-on-one life planning intensives, or in the Women of Consequence community, we have like a little group. And what's interesting is they'll say, you know, Chanel, why do I exist? So I'm helping them answer that question. And I find that in that monster question, what they're really trying to figure out is three things, which are, well, who am I? Like, what's my identity? What am I about? They're asking, well, where am I headed? Like, what's the North Star for my life? Like, where am I supposed to go? Or what am I supposed to do? And lastly, they're asking, like, how do I get there? So give me some practical steps. Like, how do I actually move forward and take action in my life? And we need to know all three of those things in order to step fully into our purpose.
Yeah. And like you said, that each one of those
oh my goodness.
is big in and of itself.
Yeah.
Well, you use your life coaching and life planning to help people. Tell us the difference between life coaching and life planning.
Yeah, they seem very similar and they do borrow some of the same elements. I like to think of it as, you know, life coaching is valuable if you know exactly what you want to accomplish. You have a lot of certainty about that. I want to lose 30 pounds, right? I want to, you know, move up in my career and move into this next position at my job. And a life coach can come alongside you and help you and help remove the obstacles and the barriers that are keeping you from that. Life planning is very different. And I find that most women actually need to start with life planning, which is going, well, what are my goals? Like, what is the life that would be fulfilling to me? I could move to that new city, but is that actually the answer? I could end this relationship, but would that bring me satisfaction, or is the issue actually something else? So life planning first defines what a life of purpose would look like for you, gives you language to articulate that, and then gives you the steps that you need from more of a coaching perspective to say, well, here's how you now move into it. So it kind of encompasses life coaching as part of it.
That's really so applicable right now. We're right in this beginning of a new year, and I'm sure you're really giving some big things for people to think about. I know I just recently got this planner here that talks about, you know, walking you through essentially like a lot of the things that you're talking about. And as I was going through it, I'm like, you know, these are really important to think about, even no matter what age you are, right? Because God can use each and every one of us, you know, no matter what our age is or stage is in life. But when you've actually taken the time to think through those questions, where do I want to be? What am I trying to accomplish?
Yes.
It can really help guide and direct you getting there. Well, how can a woman, let's say there's someone listening today that feels really discouraged about their past, how can a woman begin to redeem her life story?
Are you somebody that's been dealing with betrayal trauma? Are you somebody that has a really giant heart and you want to give back to this world, but you're not sure how you can do that because your trust has been broken? Well, I've got good news for you. I have the perfect podcast for you to come and listen to. It's called The Other Side of the Struggle, Healing from Betrayal Trauma by Erin Anderson Betrayal Trauma Coaching. Come learn how to trust again. Come learn how to open up that giant heart and heal from your betrayal trauma at The Other Side of the Struggle on all major platforms.
Yeah, I think one, to know that she's not alone, right? We all have something in our past that has been hard and some wound that we are probably carrying with us in some way. And I think to take the time, right, to actually slow down. I think that our culture kind of moves a million miles a minute and we're just encouraged to like move on and, you know, be tough and to power through. And I think we're making a beautiful shift right now where it's okay to be soft and tender and vulnerable and to leave space for yourself. So I would just encourage you, whatever that looks like, if that means therapy, if it means like doing life planning, if it means like reading a great book, spending time in scripture, take the time to actually slow down and pay attention to what's happened in your life story. And then to start to ask, like, how can those things be used? Like, surely, you know, God didn't put all the hard stuff necessarily in your life, but if it's there, we know that he can turn anything into good. Mm-hmm. So in what way can it be leveraged for your good and maybe for the good of others?
Oh, absolutely. Right. And isn't that the story of the Bible just over and over again, God using people who have gone through all these trials and building up their character and not, if we can put ourselves in a place where we're not trying to only focus on the negative of it, but yet turn it around and see how God can use that for his glory.
Yeah.
That makes a huge, huge difference. Well, one of the topics that women struggle with is fear. And how can they overcome fear, whether it's of taking action or sort of giving up old ways of living, of failure, of judgment, to actually move ahead in her life?
Yeah. I'll say the first thing is kind of putting on my therapist hat. When you're encountering fear, the biggest mistake that we make is we want to reject it right away. We want to say like, it's not okay. And we judge ourselves and beat ourselves up for it. And so I just want to acknowledge that fear is totally natural. It's a good response because it's meant to move you to action, but you're not meant to live in fear forever, right? Mm. That's a totally different place. Don't set up residence there. Mm-hmm. Notice that it's happening. And I find, you know, I talk about in Life Starts Now, this practice of flipping from fear to excitement. They're actually two sides of the same coin, right? But fear is more of a negative, anxious response because we're thinking, hey, you know, I'm afraid because I don't think I'm going to make it out of this situation. Or there's a change coming up in my life and I have some apprehension because I think it may not go the way I hope. But excitement is that same level of uncertainty, but with more positivity, And it's saying, hey, I think I've got what it takes to manage this change that's coming, or I'm going to be just fine, or I know that God is with me, or I know I'll have the support and resources I need to make it through. So if you can, instead of, you know, you can't necessarily change your circumstances, but you can change how you're perceiving it. So try as best you can to kind of flip from fear to excitement.
I love sort of turning that negative into a positive. What does life look like for a woman, let's say, who does find her true calling, who has really gone through this process that you're talking about? What does life look like for them?
Yeah, I think it's really firing on all cylinders, right? I think it's this space where you're not really burned out, but you're like deeply in touch with who you are and you feel energized and hopeful about life. Also just a woman who understands like the power that she has, that she possesses in the world, and knows that she's here for such a time as this, that there's something that she can actually do in the world. And not only does she know that she can do it, but she's actively doing it and enjoying that, but also holding on to it loosely, right? Where
yes,
there's not an extreme sense of pressure of, you know, I have to do this. There's no weightiness to it in that sense, but kind of joyfully participating in the work that God's doing. She gets to be, I always think of it in the language of being a co-laborer, right? So you get to be like a co-laborer, and it feels good to collaborate on a project. We get to kind of collaborate with God on what we're doing, but we don't have to bear the full weight and burden of it on our own.
Yes, absolutely. Can you describe for us the five postures of identity formation that you encourage women to practice?
Yeah. So I think over time, when I've worked with women, I find that the temptation is to want to like take all the life planning information we've gleaned and then just to like run and do all of the work in their own power. And so I love these five postures because they remind you to stay in a place where you're in a healthy dependence on God, and also just healthily not overwhelming yourself with too much work. So some of those are, you know, having a spirit of generosity about you, where you recognize that what you've been given or what you have is something that you've been given. So it's okay to freely pass it along to someone else. Staying in a place of gratitude, right? Being grateful and thankful for what you have. Practicing things like silence and practicing rest. Those are two big postures that I think are really critical, where we're intentionally saying, one, I want to silence the voices of the world around me, but it's okay for me to suspend activity. I don't have to be busy all the time. I still have worth and value when I'm doing nothing. And then the last one is play. And that's my favorite, is that I get to have fun. You know, when we talk about life purpose stuff, like, and life planning, as you said, these are some weighty, really big questions. And I think people can approach it with a level of sobriety that is like uncharacteristic, I think, of how God actually intends us to approach it, right? I think we are allowed to have fun and allowed to enjoy it. And so when we play in our life, we remind ourselves not to take ourselves so seriously.
Oh, yes. You know, I've noticed, for example, in my son, like he's so good at doing that. Like he will take a break, you know, on his lunch hour to go play disc golf, even if it's freezing cold out, because it just rejuvenates his day. And I know my kids are always telling me, Mom, you got to stop working. You got to find time. And so a while back, I started putting it on my calendar. It's like for those of us that like just get in this, you know, crunch, crunch, crunch work mode, it can, you just feel like there's no time for it. But then when you actually do it, it is, it does give so much joy.
Yes. Oh, that's a beautiful idea. I love that. Scheduling your fun, schedule playtime. If we schedule work, why don't we schedule play? Let's do that.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I mean, if it's maybe it's like doing mixed media art or I don't know, whatever you like to do, right? It's
yeah.
like finding time and doing it with another person too. That can be so fun. Mm-hmm. Well, as we start to wrap things up here, I want to talk about some of the biggest mistakes you think women make when they're trying to make this big change in their careers and personal lives.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you read the book to find some of those, but I want to share one that I think is really big. I think that so many of us, we make the mistake of trying to do it all on our own and in our own power without recognizing that, you know, this is meant to be one work that's joyful and work that we're participating in, that we're not supposed to shoulder the burden of our purpose all on our own. And so a lot of times women try to quickly make changes in their life. They like pivot really fast to try to like launch into something new because they're trying to just control and own the whole experience. But I think to recognize that, yes, there's a lot of this that you can influence and you can learn and grow and discover about yourself. And then there's also a healthy letting go and to be able to receive and be open to where the Lord might take you.
Yeah. Those are so important to consider. And I know for those of you that are listening, you can check out Chanel's book and there's just so much to it. And it's that will really help you engage in this process, help you avoid the mistakes that other people have made, help you see that your life is, I want to say, common like other people's. And again, that's one thing I've loved about your book was that when you read that someone else is kind of going through or has the same issues or struggles that you do, it's just very encouraging to know that, okay, they've dealt with it, they can get through it, and that will help me as well. Well, tell us, Chanel, what is your overall hope for women who read your book, Life Starts Now?
Yeah, I have this crazy passion. I think that if women can move into a place of wholeness where they know who they are and they can feel like they're fully living out their purpose, I think that that wholeness means that they will have a tremendous impact on the world. And so my hope is just to see like our world being impacted and influenced by women who just are deeply satisfied with their own lives, but who are driven to make a positive impact in the world around them.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that sort of trickle down effect that that really has when you've taken the time to get to that point in your life where you're experiencing that. Well, Chanel, thank you. We will make sure we have links to her book in our show notes. Before we go, though, I want to ask you some of our favorite Bible study tool questions.
Okay.
What is your go-to Bible and what translation is it?
Yes. So I'm a sucker for an NIV translation. Mm-hmm. That's what I love. But lately, I have been getting into ESV because I love the Illuminated Bible. One of my old friends back in New York City, Dana Tanimachi, she did this beautiful illustration for the Illuminated Bible. So it's like an art journaling copy. It is stunning. I have it on my shelf as like an art piece. but that would be kind of where I toggle. So any NIV translation or using the Illuminated Bible.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to check that out. Yeah. Okay. Do you have any favorite journaling supplies or anything that you like to use to enhance your Bible study experience?
Yeah. Well, I do that Reclaim the Morning practice. So I do that first and then I let that lead into like a devotional time. Mm-hmm. And I have I think it's like a velvet covered, it's like a dusty rose velvet pop-in journal. So I love it. It's soft and I'm a sucker for anything that feels really nice.
Yes.
So it's a great tactile experience if you want that.
Ooh, that sounds beautiful. Lastly, what is your favorite app or website for Bible study tools?
Yeah, the Read Scripture app. It is so good. I don't know if anybody's come across that, but it is really wonderful. I think it's from the Bible Project, and they have this wonderful integration where you can read scripture, like the whole Bible is broken down into different little chunks, but they also have videos that are like these illustrated animated videos that will tell you the story of what's happening. Mm. And it's just a beautiful way to kind of have a multimedia experience for your daily devotional. I'm just starting it again for the new year. So if you're out there, you can do it alongside me.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. So I have definitely seen the Bible Project videos on the computer, but I didn't realize they had an app. It's called Read Scripture.
Yeah, it's called Read Scripture. And it's right there. That's what's so cool is you can like actually track where you've read, and then it'll tell you like, here's the next video to watch. So,
oh my goodness, that sounds amazing. Okay, we are going to check that out. Chanel, thank you so much for being here today to share your experience on this topic and for just giving us some practical tools that we can use to start building a life of purpose and fulfillment. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome.
And for our listeners, pick up a copy of Chanel's book, Life Starts Now. You can find the link in our show notes. Lastly, head over to the Coffee and Bible Time website for our prayer journals that will help guide and document your prayer life at coffeeandbibletime.com. We also have two courses available on how to pray using our prayer journals. Well, thank you for joining us today on our podcast. We love you all. Have a blessed day.